What if you could design your own dental implant system from scratch? What would you change? Less complexity? Better bone preservation? Simpler digital workflows? A price that actually makes sense? That's exactly what Biotech Dental created with the Contact Dental Implant System. Contact implants promote osseointegration, preserve crestal bone, and simplify your implant procedures. With a single prosthetic connection, streamlined surgical kits, and seamless integration into digital workflows, the Contact Dental implant is quickly becoming the go-to choice for U.S. dental professionals. Your cases will be supported by a dedicated planning team who can provide surgical guides and answer any technical questions. Experience the difference firsthand. Biotech Dental will provide your first contact implant case completely free, including restorative components and surgical planning support. Clinically proven, intuitively designed, surprisingly affordable, discover why so many dentists are switching to the contact implant system. Visit biotechdentalusa.com to learn more.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is September 3rd, 2025. This is The Hump, and for a little while, The Hump is going to look a little bit different. I can't say it looks balder today. It actually probably looks a little less bald today, all things considered. But Jimmy Van will be taking a hiatus. I don't know how long as of yet, but I spoke with him yesterday, asked him, hey, you doing the show? He's like, I don't know if I can make it, and maybe we should, you know, just do a hiatus for a little while, continue the show. We discussed some names, and we decided that, you know, a rotating cast of people that maybe we don't get to see enough on Fightful will join, the first of which is a gentleman I've known for 8 years, I believe. Gosh, maybe longer than that. It's been about 8-9 years.
Yeah.
Roughly. Mr. Andrew Baidala. Andrew, how you doing?
Sean, I'm good. Good to see you. Good to be here on Fightful. I'll do my best to kind of do what Jimmy does, but on a balder scale. So.
Yeah, we've got a plethora of upcoming hosts, including Andrew. I took a lot of input from people who commented as a result, and I wanted, again, to feature some people that maybe you didn't see on Fightful enough, or maybe some people that you missed. Next week, we will have Tom Campbell of Cultaholic on. The week after that, Denise Salcedo will be here. The following week, the day that he launches a show that he participates on Fox, Frank the Clown will be joining us. October 1st, we have Luke Owen of Wrestle Talk. October 8th, we have the return of Ibu, which I'm sure will ruffle some feathers. And October 15th, we have Simon Miller. And this is one of the first times I think Simon and I have ever done shows together. So
another fantastic bald.
Yeah. Listen, you got some good, good balds on here, to be honest with you. Like, we're going to start the B1 climax, and it's going to be all balds. That's the way it's going to be.
I'm here for it. You got a who's who of guest host coming in.
Yes.
I'm sure Ibu will ruffle some feathers. I don't think he does anything that doesn't ruffle feathers, but Denise, yes. Simon, it's a good cast of characters.
for those asking if Jimmy is okay, I think it's like anal fissures or something.
Oh, geez. Huh? He's got piles.
I think he's dealing with some anal fissures. He's okay. Like physically everything's all right. Just wanted a little bit of time off. And listen, we're working on a lot of different things. You guys have probably seen we're expanding our TikTok. I will make the plea again here. Anybody who has a contact at Meta or Facebook, hit us up because we're trying to get our Facebook verified. Somebody says, get Pablo Torres on. I don't know how big you are into the NBA. Did you see this stuff he uncovered?
Oh, yeah. I'm big into sports in general. I mean, first of all, I know you're a big NBA guy. You're a sports guy as well. Kyrie going to the Clippers was a shock to begin with because you figured there'd be multiple suitors. And Kyrie, I get wanting to play in LA, but this just,
you mean Kawhi.
Kawhi. Yeah. I don't get it.
But yeah, it was revealed that they basically circumvented the salary cap, which is something I always wondered, like, why don't they do that? How do they not do that? It's just mind boggling. And Pablo did a great job. Somebody says Danielle Fisher would be awesome. Listen, my connect to her would be my old friend, Will Washington. And that's a fate. Listen, if
you're
I ever
about Topanga,
yeah, he knows Topanga. They're
buddies. Danielle Fisher. I mean, if that's how you say her last name,
Fischel. Right?
Official. I mean, my God, that'd be a great get.
Yeah. She's incredible. I tried to get Melissa Joan Hart one time. She's a big wrestling fan as well. But we got some wrestling to talk about, guys. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Tap that bell for notifications. Make sure you subscribe. Of course, FightfulSelect.com. We broke some news just slightly before the news came out on the press release, and we had it on the free tier of FightfulSelect.com. And it's some quite interesting news that I know that our audience are going to be talking about. Get your super chats in, get your humper chats in. AEW officially moving All Out up to 3 p.m. So that show will go, I would imagine it's going to carry over past the 7 p.m. hour when WrestlePalooza starts, which WWE booked very intentionally along with ESPN. To one, kick off the ESPN era, and two, compete with AEW. This is something that a lot of people wondered about. Fightful Select was able to learn that they wanted to find out how the Forbidden Door show did, because All In is one thing, Forbidden Door is another. They had two back-to-back successful pay-per-view afternoons, so they were okay with doing this. What are your thoughts on this, Andrew, before we even get into the HBO element of it?
I understand why they make the move. I think the 3 p.m. time slot. Normally AEW is 4 and change, so I think they'll be getting off the air right as WrestlePalooza's kicking off, or maybe they go a couple minutes into it. I get the strategic move, but for me, AEW announced this in May, so I'm sticking to my time slot. I understand that we might have a hit on pay-per-view buys and whatnot, but at the end of the day, I don't want to set a tone and a precedent here where, all right, if they're going to go head to head with us, we're going to keep moving our time slots. And I understand it's chess, not checkers, but man, I don't like the precedent this sets, because I can tell you this right now, Sean, WWE is going to do this far often and continuously in 2026.
I think what AEW might start doing is just announcing the date and not the time.
And the tickets for All Out say 6 o'clock local time. So
that's something I want to ask you as a guy who is very familiar with the ticketing situation. How does that affect people who have bought tickets? Is there like a refund situation available, or is that just like is there a window that you know of that they would have to crack through in order to have to facilitate refunds, which aren't going to be an issue for AEW in general? People are still going to go.
Right. They've sold a lot of tickets for All Out. AEW does very well at, you know, pay-per-view buys and ticket sales. I do not believe there is going to be a refund process, but I'm sure if you made enough noise and called the box office and, you know, stated, I can't make this, but they probably would refund you. But at the end of the day, I don't think the Scotiabank Arena or AEW is going to put out any sort of information being like, fans who cannot attend can ask for refunds. They're not going to open those doors. But if you complain enough, yes, you'd be able to get a refund.
Now, as a person who's covering the shows, my original plan was I'm going to do a combined show at like 11, 12, midnight, whatever, after that. Now, it looks like if an AEW show starts at 3, the pre-show is probably going to start at 1. So
they announced some tailgate at 2 o'clock that's going to lead into 2 Eastern that's going to lead into the pay-per-view.
I didn't need a four-hour pay-per-view from WWE this weekend. I don't need a four-hour pay-per-view from anybody at any time. I don't care if it's the biggest show of the year. I don't need a four-hour show. I am past the age of needing that. I understand if some people aren't that worried about it. But I fully expect to be covering wrestling from 1:30 to and then all the way up till 7 for WrestlePalooza. Then, honestly, I think WrestlePalooza probably goes 4 hours based on what we saw the other day.
Right.
And they're going to stack that show very intentionally, probably all the way up to 11:20, 11:30-ish maybe. And I'll probably be on the air until about 1:30 a.m. that morning.
So just a block of Sean. That's what we're getting?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, are you aware of the other multi-hour show that we have planned this month?
I'm not.
I got to promote it because I spent way too much money making it
happen.
Oh,
I did see this. I know where you're going.
I have facilitated, Andrew, a Freddy Got Fingered review.
It's a good movie.
Well, I don't know about that, but the review is going to be very good because Alex is the best curmudgeon reviewer, I think, on the planet. And I had to buy them personalized puppets to make it happen. And it's happening on September 11th. This may be the worst thing to ever happen on September 11th, ever. This review. Among the worst things ever, at least hitting that top 10. If What Culture did a top 10, this would hit the top 10, maybe number one. But I encourage everybody, check it out. I am selling sponsorship slots. And to promote this review, I am releasing Alex's Hot Rod review here on the channel this weekend. Thomas says, would WWE move WrestlePalooza to 3 p.m. in response? No chance.
Sean, what
this
do you
is bigger than that?
Yeah, Sean, what do you think about this? Because we all saw everything lining up when WWE, ESPN, WrestlePalooza, they could have went any other time and date in September. This was obviously intentional. We get all that. Do I think it was the, you know, underlining factor? No. But what do you think of this move?
I think the same thing that happened with USA Network and WWE is going to eventually happen with ESPN and WWE. At some point when WWE said, you know what, we're going to get this USA deal on Wednesdays to compete with AEW for NXT. At some point, USA said, listen, that's fine and dandy. We love the content. We love the show. We love to have it. We do not care about your silly little war on Wednesdays. We want viewership. We want numbers. We want ratings. And look at what they've done on CW. They've established their foothold on Tuesdays. I think that before long, with the amount that ESPN is spending, I think they're going to say, we're fine doing that. It's okay. Whatever. But like, listen, we already have to have you guys battle college football in the fall. We're not going to have you battle another wrestling company as well, right, and further divide that audience that would hopefully expand Brian Morales, as Sean know, to the Freddie Got Fingered comment.
Are you going to get Tom Green to like do a cameo real quick, like promoting the show? Maybe
I have reached out to Tom Green. I've reached out to multiple Tom Greens, actually.
The deep cut guy from WCW as well.
Yeah, I've reached out to him as well. Okay. I've reached out to him. So that wasn't all that was revealed. The AEW pay-per-views now officially are going to have the option to be broadcast on HBO Max. Andrew Zarian of Matt Men Radio revealed that news is coming soon. I had heard a couple different things throughout the process about the discount that would be provided. And the original discount that I heard, I thought was honestly a much better idea, which was, this was like 6-7 months ago, which was the cost of whatever tier of HBO Max that you are on would be deducted from the pay-per-view cost. Instead, it will be a $10 discount. Of course, NordVPN.com/Fightful provides you a much bigger one. We'll talk about that later. But I had a conversation with somebody on social media who was being very bullheaded about it and said, terrible deal. They should leave pay-per-view in the past. It's dead. And I'm like, well, not for AEW. It's not. They make
the biggest millions,
dozens of millions of dollars. They sell over a million pay-per-views a year. Yeah. I don't have to like it. It's nice for my VPN sales. That's very lovely. But I mean, it's also asinine to believe that AEW didn't at least broach the idea of it going all in on streaming and a streamer paying for all of it. It just didn't happen that way. How are you feeling about where the chips fell on this? Because they do still have their platforms like YouTube, pay-per-view.com, Amazon Prime, which was a big one. How are you feeling about this discount?
The discount isn't a discount. That's my biggest problem with it. I think they could have tiered this up. Like, I heard the same discussions about 6 or 7 months ago. I mean, if they made the pay-per-view $24.99, that's a discount. Yeah. Something to that extent, and you have to have a max subscription, that will entice people to have a max subscription. The business of this, I get it. It's a nice PR move. Like, hey, they're $10 cheaper, but you have to buy a max subscription. And when you get into the different tiers, it's really not a discount. And to be honest with you, I enjoy Dynamite and Collision on Max.
Yeah, you too.
I just don't feel as if this is the way to go about the there's no exclusivity either, which is mind-boggling at this point. You know?
Yeah, so I had somebody ask, like, well, how does that affect other pay-per-view platforms? It doesn't. They stopped working with Triller domestically for, I think, money reasons. But they gained their exclusivity back as a result of this new deal. So for those that don't know, when they arranged the Collision deal, WBD worked in an exclusivity clause. And what that meant was shows like Dark couldn't.
What if you could design your own dental implant system from scratch? What would you change? Less complexity? Better bone preservation? Simpler digital workflows? A price that actually makes sense? That's exactly what Biotech Dental created with the Contact Dental Implant System. Contact implants promote osseointegration, preserve crestal bone, and simplify your implant procedures. With a single prosthetic connection, streamlined surgical kits, and seamless integration into digital workflows, the Contact Dental implant is quickly becoming the go-to choice for U.S. dental professionals. Your cases will be supported by a dedicated planning team who can provide surgical guides and answer any technical questions. Experience the difference firsthand. Biotech Dental will provide your first contact implant case completely free, including restorative components and surgical planning support. Clinically proven, intuitively designed, surprisingly affordable, discover why so many dentists are switching to the contact implant system. Visit biotechdentalusa.com to learn more.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Be on YouTube anymore. You could do ROH stuff wherever you wanted, but nothing AEW branded could be anywhere but WBD. And when AEW worked out this new deal, they worked out, first off, a multi-stream situation where not just TBS and TNT, but it aired on HBO Max as well. That is an additional revenue stream for them. What they also did was they were able to reduce the number of hours that they produced by, I think it was almost 60, including Battle of the Belts and all that as well. So they got more money, less hours, and they got their exclusivity back. So they're able to shop things around. But I think that the discount should be higher if you're going to entice people to subscribe to Max. I actually think that what Peacock, what Netflix, what a lot of these streamers have done by procuring wrestling content, Andrew, is valuable because there aren't a lot of things that you can add to streamers where you're going to get an entirely new audience tune in. there are a lot of people who simply just watch wrestling. That's what their life is. Yeah. That's what they lean into.
Yeah. And it's interesting, Sean, because we are basically almost into Q4 of 2025, and Warner Brothers Discovery had no pay-per-view live streaming capabilities into a 3-year deal. So, I mean, you got to figure, and I've said this, you know, ad nauseum, Tony made from everything that's been reported, the Warner Brothers Discovery deal for their media rights for two television properties is insane. That's an insanely good deal. And you want to know why WrestlePalooza and ESPN and everything else is happening? WWE does not want to see AEW get another media rights deal in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and there's some interesting approaches to that, because there, TKO traditionally hasn't been a big exclusivity company. WWE has. Like, WWE had to settle a lawsuit with Court Bauer and MLW because, for of all things, they didn't want MLW on Tubi.
Right.
They didn't want them on Tubi. And WWE has really been broad in spreading their wings, from Twitter to enhancing their YouTube reach to A&E, Tubi, Amazon Prime. They've even got deals to where some of their stuff ends up there. But UFC in the past was on ESPN, and ESPN still worked out a deal with PFL, which was their top competitor. So that will be interesting to see how the chips fall in a couple of years, and who is even still with WWE in a couple of years that wants to spearhead that type of thing. We've seen a lot of turnover in the last couple of years. And I constantly wonder, like, what will Nick Khan's next big thing be to conquer? Like, what will be, he's landed all these media rights deals. What's the next one for him? So I think that's something to look out for.
Yeah. I think you're seeing what Nick and the TKO executives deem valuable, and it's any good business would be is profitability. But the exclusivity thing is interesting, and they're starting to announce, you know, different cities and states that they're going to be running live events in ahead of time, like the multi-year deals with Vegas, Indy. I forget the Salt Lake City. There's all this stuff that goes into it. It's very interesting because, like you had stated, WWE really didn't do this in the past besides WrestleMania and SummerSlam or a Rumble here or there. But the media rights there, I mean, they've done everything they possibly can do, them being WWE. They're on ESPN. They were on NBC. I mean, it's nuts. Fox, they've done everything.
Josh Morgan, I want to thank you so much for that generous super chat. You're always so good to us. Jake from Windy City says, do you know if USA is unhappy about VPNs for SmackDown? So let's discuss that. Were you as surprised as everybody else that Stephanie McMahon was plugging VPNs?
Yeah, I don't know how that passed.
Specifically as it relates to WWE content.
Yeah, I don't know how that like got past like the, okay, yeah, well, this is a read you got to do and it's approved. It's like, I'd look at this and be like, you sure? I don't know how that got approved, but hey.
All due respect, that woman has no clue what a VPN is, even after doing those reads for weeks. She's got no idea.
But she's got people advising her, no?
Yeah, but she don't know what a VPN, she knows what it is now.
Right.
But I bet she didn't doing that read. She's like, what? Okay, this sounds cool. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of wild. So a source I spoke to at ESPN said, well, I mean, we weren't thrilled about it, but like they knew about it weeks before it like blew up online because they'd been happening before. They don't expect them to continue, but I hate to tell you, they're going to continue right here with NordVPN.com/Fightful. $10 discount. How about way more than that with NordVPN.com/Fightful? Get a 2-year deal and 4 months free. You subscribe to the most basic tier of NordVPN.com/Fightful. It's really simple. You download the app on whatever you got, phone, desktop, laptop, PC, it doesn't matter. It's smart TV. Then you just change your virtual location. Where? Anywhere else but America. You can get on Netflix, access Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and WWE PLEs. So if your cable service doesn't have ESPN Unlimited yet, or even if it does, who gives a hoot? You have a Netflix account, you got NordVPN, you're good to go. This equals out to a couple bucks a month, and it saves you a whole lot more. Plus pay-per-views, what's left of UFC, AEW, TNA, get them at a much more affordable price when you change that virtual location. The benefits don't stop there. Head over to NordVPN.com/Fightful. See a lot more. If you are in the chat and you have used NordVPN.com/Fightful, please let me know. I love seeing that. Makes me so happy. They also have a 30-day money-back guarantee. I am just over the moon that we were on the VPN bandwagon well before a lot of other people, and we thank NordVPN for always being awesome. Always being awesome to them. Pile Driver Finisher wants me to replace Excalibur already. Listen, it is very, very easy to promote something that you actually use. Kate says, we love our Nord. So, hey, here we go. We got somebody saying, where is it? Where is it, by God? Oh, it was in the Humper Chats. Says, I remember recent discourse about the Fight app having problems. Been watching all my AEW shows and pay-per-views there with zero issues, thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful. Seems like a timely topic with today's HBO news. Any updates on the status of the Fight app? In America, I don't know. Internationally, it seems like things are still smooth sailing. I've heard issues regarding that brand in America for quite some time. Isn't it wild to think, Andrew, that Jeff Jarrett helped spearhead this like 12 years ago as the Flips app?
Yeah. I feel like Jeff's everywhere.
He's always been involved in everything.
Yeah.
Tim Traver says, hi, everyone. Let's hump. Thanks, SRS, for the racing champion die cars or diecast cars you got me. Fun fact, you found four of my favorite wrestlers' managers. So Tim has been a longtime supporter of our site, buys our merch and sends these incredible super chats. I'm going to put his crawl down here for you guys to check it. And he collects diecast cars. So I actually found a bunch of WCW diecast cars and had them sent to him. I was very happy that you got those, Tim. I appreciate you supporting us.
There you go. People very helping much. People.
Check out the diecast collective, guys. Meet Norma says, happy belated birthday, SRS. You don't look a day over 50. If your knees can hold up, let's crank. The small sack of monies is for the puppets and meat. Well, thank you for that, because I spent a lot on those. With AEW women's tag titles coming, where does Bazilla fit in? Well, I don't know if they are coming yet. Tony Khan hasn't been committed on that. In fact, I'm surprised they moved forward with the ROH pure women's titles, because I thought that they were just quietly letting them go into the night, Andrew. Were you surprised to see them actually set a bracket for that?
Yeah. I also was surprised to see like what transpired after the ROH media call. It seems like they kind of again, Tony has always been very good with listening to the fans and or some of the media members who have honest takes, not grifters. So I was very interested. I don't need any more championships in either company. That's just me. I don't.
Yeah. Oh my God. When they added the speed titles to NXT, I was like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Why do we need that? I would be okay with tag team titles, women's tag team titles. And I've always said this, I want them to be women's world tag titles, not AEW, not ROH. It can be either one. And then if you've got New Japan doing a US show, have them defended there, have them defend them on the indies, put them on Defy or House of Glory or something like that. But
sure.
Where does Bozilla fit in? It's very clear that Tony Khan likes her. He had been asking to use her for quite some time and eventually got her. And I heard that she made a very, very good impression as well.
I mean, I don't know how you don't with the way she went out.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I feel like AEW's women's division is getting so, so solid to where I don't want and introduce these tag team championships and kind of murk up the waters and stuff like that. I just leave it the way it is right now. I feel like it's really starting to hit its stride, which it did in the beginning of 2025, but now it's on a different level, in my opinion. I get it. Women's tag team championships would be great, but now's not the time, I think. Just me.
New Lack City says, hey guys, tell Jimmy to come back to work. I told Jimmy to not come back to work, guys. He says, I'm really tired of WWE with their obsession of trying to take AEW down. As someone who watched both products, I don't want to have to choose what show to watch. Weekends are busy enough as it is for both shows. It is weird to think, like when you and I were growing up, like two shows competing on Monday nights was the norm.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the norm. And it actually wasn't WWE that instigated that. It was WCW that did, specifically Ted Turner. But these days, there's so much that it's hard to avoid one another. But also, it's very calculated when you put PLEs on against other major PLEs.
Yeah, and let's not pretend that everyone doesn't have multiple screens at multiple times. I understand some of you might not have two TVs on a wall or something like that, but hey, look, listen, we can't sit back and just pretend that the accessibility is not there. You all have phones, you all have laptops, and I know you guys have televisions. So I get it. Picking one or the other sucks. We did it all the time throughout Monday nights in the 90s. Was it ideal? No, but I think it made the product better. And WCW eventually promoted Raw too many times to where people changed the goddamn channel. So be careful. That's all I'll tell WWE. Be careful.
Jay Miller says, there's a reason Netflix can't do side-by-side commercials with matches like SmackDown and NXT. It would have been something discussed with the specific advertisers and worked into the deal. These are all things that are discussed ahead of time. And it's just one of the ways that they are recouping their investment on WWE, because like getting new subscriptions is one thing, but they have to sell ads to help justify that incredible cost, Andrew.
Yeah. I mean, when they did the ESPN WrestlePalooza read, the screen was mute. Television was mute here in my house because we don't have ads. So my son was like, what's going on? I was like, well, you're not going to hear that because it's an ad read for ESPN. So.
You also don't have those if you use NordVPN.com/Fightful and watch the international feed. Kevin Mann says, has there been any discussion about having a show at the Sphere, or is it too expensive to run? I know Tony had inquired a couple years ago when it was first becoming a thing, but the fact that it hasn't happened leads me to believe there it was probably way too expensive. And also, I feel like WWE sort of made their stance known by doing the exclusive deal with T-Mobile Arena, because it's hard for me to think they're going to run anywhere else in Vegas but there for the foreseeable future.
The Sphere is owned by the same people who own MSG, James Dolan.
Okay.
So good luck. I'm not sure. Tony could absolutely inquire and they'll probably give him an insane number, but I think if any wrestling promotion is going to run it, it's going to be WWE TKO.
Alex Fitzgerald. Oh, we'll talk about that momentarily. John Taylor says, sending thoughts and preparation H to Jimmy Van and his mini hemorrhoids issue. Sean, can you confirm the rumor that Denise will shave her head live on the hump when she co-hosts? She should, if she's committed, if she wants to really make this a thing. I think that she should, and I think that everybody should encourage her to. What kind of coward is she? I had my hair sawed off with a hook knife by Awesome Kong at one point.
I'm pretty sure the job description, like when Sean put this out, it said you have to be bald.
Have to be. Yeah.
Have to be.
Just saying. Or dude, Fid McAwesome. I need to ask you, do you have any Facebook contacts, Fid McAwesome? I feel like you're the kind of person that may, but he says, AEW is now the only large combat sport fed to have a traditional pay-per-view model. Time to catch up. I don't disagree with that at all. I think that one of the very smartest things that WWE ever did was the long-term play of making their main shows more accessible. And they said, we'll take a hit on the pay-per-view, but we will broaden our ability to be seen by putting it on the network. Then they took things like NXT that they just put on the network. They took documentaries. They took additional shows. And then they said, well, now we're going to license NXT to USA and the documentaries to A&E. And the PLEs to Peacock and the archives wherever. Yep. They found ways to consolidate, then resell all of their content. It was very, very smart. But also for AEW, they have been in money-losing mode for a number of years. And right now they have a formula that has them making money the next several years. And while you know that you're making money, you want to make money. I'll tell you what, man, if somebody came along to Fightful and they said, how about this? No more paywall. We'll offer to sponsor all your exclusives. My first question would be, how long? If it's 6 months, no, because then I'd have to rebuild those subscribers. If it's a year, no. If it's 3 to 5, okay. You're going to guarantee me X amount. And you will be the only sponsor of our exclusives? Well, okay, I'll consider that. But if you cannibalize your pay-per-views permanently, that's something that's hard to go back on, switching models like that. Andrew, any thoughts on that entire element?
I think a lot of people forget that on average, AEW probably does about $6 to $6.5 to $7 million in pay-per-view buys. monthly. I mean, their lowest, I think, was Dynasty in April. I think that was like 110 to 120. Yeah. All in did 180 to 185. You're not looking at chump change here. If AEW was to pull their quote unquote dead pay-per-view model off the pay-per-view model and they went to a singular streaming home, which I've asked Tony Khan before if he has any thoughts on doing or chopping up his media rights, someone's going to have to come in here with a really nice offer for AEW. And I'm sure that they would. But at the end of the day, like you said, they were in losing money mode for so long that now they're trying to be in the profitable business, which is what you should be in. So this is one of their biggest assets. And I just don't see them quickly being like, okay, these people think the pay-per-view model's dead, so we agree we're going to change everything. I mean, they're making $6-7 million a month.
Jake from Windy City says, are we forgetting Ring of Honor MSG 2019?
Different
no,
time.
Because WWE got incredibly territorial as a result of that. Let me explain to you guys some of the dominoes that fell. So WWE had fallen out of love with MSG. It was expensive to run, especially on TV. They were fine not running it. They were fine not leaning into their exclusivity there. But if you remember, they got into talent hoarding mode around that period, really around 2018. Why is that? Well, because ROH and New Japan, when they started to join forces a lot more, posed a significant threat to the talent pool, not to WWE's number one status or anything like that. Who WWE is concerned with is whoever poses a threat to their talent pool. Could ROH, New Japan, and the indies and signings collectively mean more money for talent than what WWE could provide? Yes, they still do. You can now with multiple streams. But at that time, there were a couple situations that I watched unfold around ROH and New Japan announcing MSG. One of which was Hulk Hogan, who had been out of the company for 3 years. And then all of a sudden, word comes out that ROH is running a building that he helped establish and make famous and had a lot of great moments there. And you might say, well, ROH wouldn't have done anything with it. Buddy, they were owned by Sinclair Broadcast Group. They would have not cared what that man said. And he could have just came out and waved and WWE would have been beside themselves. That week, they brought Hulk Hogan back in to do his apology backstage. There's also a gentleman that I did a podcast with a number of years ago, Matt Riddle. He did a WWE tryout. He made a joke of the tryout. He was so good at it. They were going to hire him. Then they said, oh, we just saw all this weed stuff. So no, we're not going to hire you. Then he said, that's fine. I'm going to go work for Ring of Honor then. I appreciate your time. And they said, whoa, don't do that. Don't do that. What we will do is get you in with this WWN and Evolve thing, and you're going to get like 75, 80 bookings a year just off of that. It'll practically be a full-time job. You'll be one of the big indie stars. And he said, okay, I'll do that. He did that for about 18 months. Then around the time of MSG being announced, ROH and New Japan were like, hey, so about that WWN thing, why don't you come over and do some of our stuff? And while, from what I understand, they were approaching him for it, WWE was like, oh, no, come on, we'll sign you now. We'll go ahead and sign you now. WWE gets very territorial of anything that starts a domino effect that could affect how much they pay talent. And that is the biggest thing. It's not a threat to the crown. It's a threat to the contracts and how much they pay for them.
Yeah. And what a lot of people weren't talking about with that whole Ring of Honor thing is MSG, the Garden, went to WWE and said, hey, need to bring an event here. And they said, no, we're going to keep running Barclays. We're going to keep running the Nassau Coliseum. We're going to keep running Prudential. And they said, well, if you don't bring an event here, we're going to allow other companies, wrestling companies, to come in here. And that's where Ring of Honor and New Japan swooped in, and that's how you had it, because WWE was running the Barclays, I mean, all the time when they came to New York, because they could go to New York, say they're live from New York, and they don't have to pay the extravagant fees that it costs to run and operate Madison Square Garden, which is union operated. There was a lot of things that went into that, a ton.
When will women's blood and guts happen? All Out? I guess, like, I don't see a great need to do blood and guts for that feud. I think that Aminata and Tekla are doing great. But like, if it gets like really, really on fire over the next couple of weeks with Jamie Hayter being back, perhaps. But I would say All Out because it's a big venue that you could do it at. But
sure.
Alex says the evolution of AEW's pay-per-view model is inevitable because they proved that that business model could work in the streaming era when the consensus was that it was a bad idea. The future for them may also be different than many expect. I mean, a number of years ago, Andrew, we went from, gosh, it was like 2014, 2015, where everybody wanted a piece of wrestling. Even then, like Lucha Underground, TNA had a few options, but then they got kicked off a few options. ROH was getting a bunch of TV deals, like little ones like Comet, Destination yep. America, etc. And then all of a sudden, like, no, nobody wanted wrestling. Global Force couldn't find a TV deal. And then AEW came along. They got in with Warner Brothers, and a lot of people didn't think it. They're a t-shirt company comments for a long time. What is your thought on them somehow succeeding at the pay-per-view model, despite the fact that WWE pushed things so far in the other direction?
I think it was two different mindsets. I think Tony looked at the pay-per-view model and AEW looked at the pay-per-view model as, how much can we give our fans? How can we put this to where every pay-per-view we put on is going to get rave reviews, and we're going to put the biggest and best matches that we possibly can, and we're going to have all of our television leading to pay-per-views? Where if you look at the WWE model, for the longest time, it was, well, the pay-per-views are free. We'll just throw a match, quote unquote, free. We'll just throw a match here or there that should have been on Raw or SmackDown on the pay-per-view. And we'll stack our Manias and our Rumbles and our SummerSlams, but these B-level pay-per-views, we don't really give a shit about. And let's call a spade, whether you're so WWE or you're so AEW, you cannot deny that AEW does not put on great pay-per-views, because they do. It's well worth the money. Do I think the pay-per-view model is, archaic to a certain extent, but I can't ignore the numbers. And AEW does great numbers on pay-per-view buys.
Jay Polanco says one part you're missing is there's just a way more wrestling content now. Every day, multiple PLEs on the same days now. Too much. It is. Like, you got to pick and choose. Like, honestly, if I were a wrestling fan and not somebody covering it, I would probably tune into the post shows that I like, but I would be watching clips of a lot of other stuff and then watching the PLEs. And I would be watching it while I did other stuff because they're so long. Yeah. It certainly is not casual fan friendly. And that's okay, because I've always thought that that's like a myth that you're chasing. But I will say that wrestling these days, they do make it a little bit more difficult to be a casual fan of it.
People consume content completely different than they did 2 years ago. And I think something that's killing viewership in terms of live viewing audience, but it's something that WWE and even AEW has seen that works, is your review show or your recap show that happens on their YouTube channels. They give you an 8 to 12 minute recap of the entire show, but they're only showing you what they want you to see. There's other things that happen during the show that you probably should pay attention to. But again, people and the people who are making the decisions are understanding that people are consuming content completely different. They don't want to give up 2 hours of their day. They'd rather in the morning and watch it for 12 minutes and call it a day. That's what they're doing.
Tim Traver sends another monster super chat. Thank you so much. He says, not trying to get off topic. Update on my real pickup. Got a bunch of money for it. Still saving. Getting ready to start a series called Retro Series. Talk about 80s, 90s, early 2000s Hot Wheels and Matchbox. Check out the Diecast Collective, guys, over on YouTube. I know he does stuff on Facebook as well. Got to get your streaming set up for YouTube, Tim. I saw you streaming on Facebook. Get that set up for YouTube. It'll be able to go out to more than just your friends. I would encourage you, check out, use StreamYard, which we're using now. It'll allow you to stream to multiple platforms, Tim. I would encourage you to do that. I would also encourage you and many others to invest in your sleep with helixsleep.com/Fightful. I woke up on my wonderful Helix Sleep, my Dusk Lux model today, but I didn't always have one. I had a rough slab of memory foam. This was about 4 or 5 years ago. I was waking up and I was more tired than when I went to sleep, and I couldn't handle that anymore. I thought about it and I said, man, I'm spending a third of my life in bed, ideally. I need to do something. So I looked up top mattress reviews and I found Helix Sleep. I bought a Helix Sleep mattress because I took their quiz, found the one that was right for me. It was during the pandemic, so I didn't want to go into the mattress store. Plus, I wanted something more convenient. I wanted it shipped to me. I didn't have a truck to deliver it where I lived. They wouldn't have delivered it from a mattress store anyway. but I found helixsleep.com/Fightful before it even was that. 30,000 plus five-star reviews. That has since grown to 50,000 plus five-star reviews. And we're very happy that many of you are the people that left those reviews. Right now, get 27% off any mattress order for a limited time using our code FIGHTFUL. There's a 100-night sleep trial, so if for some reason you don't like it, they'll come back and pick it up for you. Free shipping on all orders, and they have flexible financing options. So if you're saying, maybe I can't invest that much in it right now, they do have flexible financing options, and they will find the mattress that's right for you. They have mattresses for kids, ones for plus-size sleepers, ones that help cool you down, ones for spinal alignment. They have an incredible number of testimonials over at helixsleep.com/Fightful, plus Wired, Good Housekeeping, GQ, Forbes, New York Times, all put this mattress over. Please check it out. helixsleep.com/Fightful.
Sean, you know what's crazy? People
not
who
not getting sleep on helixsleep.com/fightful.
People who don't prioritize their sleep. You want to find out if you're very unhealthy?
Yeah.
Don't sleep.
I agree. Well, let's talk about the big subject. It was heavily hinted on WWE TV. Fightful Select reported there had been pitches involving her immediately following the show, because I thought they were going to lean into this much later. I had been asking about this for about a week and a half. And then yesterday, it was confirmed within WWE, AJ Lee expected to return. Now, this Friday, we've got people...
How dare you spoil this? How dare you? Like, it's not your job.
So Alex Fitzgerald says, I don't know how you do it, SRS. That reply to that guy on Twitter said, why are you spoiling AJ Lee and he's following you is ridiculous. Listen, I very rarely do I put spoilers on the timeline, but listen, when somebody gets signed or brought into a company, I'm not going to not report it. Like, I'm sorry. Right. If I don't, somebody else is going to, and maybe not with the same veracity that I do, because listen, I had been told she was coming in like a week and a half ago, but I had one source and I can't run a single source. But it does always seem cute that the same, I hate to say the same people, but it is a lot of the same people that make personal attacks on me and say that I'm not credible are also complaining that I am spoiling things. And what I haven't seen and I'm very happy about is people saying, like, you never spoil AEW stuff. And I'm like, well, there's a gentleman that she lives with named CM Punk that once signed with AEW. And I broke that. But WrestleClips says I'll be at SmackDown. What are the odds AJ Lee makes an appearance? If I were them, after seeing those numbers on Friday, I'd be like, yeah, we're bringing her back Friday. But she is, at the very least, as best I know, supposed to be announced. It's hard to believe she won't be there, Andrew.
Well, it's the first pay-per-view on ESPN PLE. They're going to want to promote AJ Lee coming back to the ring and tagging with her husband to take on Becky and Seth. I thought the promo on Raw was great from Becky and Punk.
So good.
And again, if this was the other company, if AJ Lee was coming into AEW for some strange reason, Sean would report that as well. I'll never understand the people who quote unquote hate, whether it's you, myself, or somebody else, but they continuously talk about us and how we're terrible or we're not good at our jobs or whatever else. Go find something else to do then. Don't talk about Sean. Don't talk about me. Talk about yourselves.
I mean, I would like that. Stop aggregating my news, all that good stuff. It would be, I would be rather keen on such a thing.
Do you think this came together, Sean, because of the ESPN deal? Do you think they might have been saving this for Survivor Series or something else, but now they're like, okay, ESPN, they want a big money match. Let's give it to them.
Yeah. I think they've been working on it because they knew that AEW All Out was going to be September 20th. I think they've had that date circled. I think it's something that they kind of knew was en route, to be honest with you, because they've known that they were going to run head to head for quite a while.
Sure. You think Punk pushed this?
What is it?
You think Punk might have pushed this a little bit?
I don't think that he did, because from what I understand, and the way that people have talked to me, told me, he's always been very respectful of just like, if she wants to come back, she'll tell me she wants to come back type of thing. And has been pretty protective of that, because women will needle him all the time. Like, hey, let's get her out of retirement. And he's like, okay, well, about that. because he, from what I understand, he's a, I'm not going to speak for her. She's a grown woman. She can speak for herself type of person. And I respect that a lot. Mim Birdman says, I adore AJ Lee as much as I loathe Philly beta bitch cakes. Punk. Damn. He says, she's going to be in WrestlePalooza. WWE can suck it all the more and tickle the balls. No blue. This person spent a good amount of money to get me to read that.
People are weird, dude. Thanks for the money.
Damn, member, man. That was six. Oh, my God. Is that, listen, is that actually Mike the Jeweler? Is that who that is? Because he used to send those a lot. Like, he would always make up little nicknames and stuff and catch me off guard. Just Mass says, hope everyone enjoys that weekend. I'm at Louder Than Life, so can't watch. Love AJ, but her return to me is a positive blip on an otherwise very poor product. That is a formula I noticed for WWE and a lot of wrestling. They'll have one really hot angle, and a lot of the other stuff is just kind of subsequent filler. But
there's going to be three hot angles on this show.
Yeah, I agree. And Becky in that promo was so good, and Punk responding to her was so good. I saw somebody say it's another you left us angle. And I'm like, no, it wasn't that. It was a, you left us and you didn't discourage people from actively chanting during women's matches when you have you publicly championed women in the past, but you didn't ask people to stop. There was a loaded situation there.
Yeah. I'm not drawing the exact parallels here, but it very much reminded me of almost Stephanie and Triple H and the McMahon Helmsley like regime that they had. It was very like with Seth and Becky. I liked it. I liked everything about what they did on Monday. I really did.
Kate reminds you guys, if you're interested in sponsoring the Fightful Awards in January, it is great to get ahead of that. We encourage you guys to do so. You can contact Kate or myself or the Fightful on Patreon, any of the Fightful accounts, and we will get you to that information. But when do you think SmackDown gets more roster ads? I feel like they're probably going to work with what they have for a little while, and the occasional talent will jump in. But I think with them going into 2 hours, they're going to try to work with what they have for now.
Yeah. Sean, is there anybody else they're going to call up to say, hey, we need you for WrestlePalooza? I mean, we're getting Brock and John. Signs point to that.
I keep seeing people say, and thank you, Jeff, for that. Thank you. Hey, if you want to sponsor the Fightful Awards for something like that, even one that Punk might win, go ahead. But I think that for WrestlePalooza, no, I don't think so. I see a lot of people say, oh, well, they discussed Ethan Page coming up. I have not heard that. Like, they've got a TV deal. They need established talent on NXT.
And I think they're pulling the three big guns here. Lesnar, in terms of guys and girls who might not be, they got Lesnar, AJ Lee, and Pat McAfee's coming back for the show. So
yeah. Wrestle Clips says we're 2 days out, and the only thing announced for SmackDown so far is Cena. Have no idea what else to expect besides Punk, maybe. I think they want to see how talent feel on like physically before they announce too much. I don't know what all, like, by the way, of matches is set, but listen, I think there's also a big point of pride in being able to sell out the Allstate Arena on a rumor, which has been the thing.
Right. I have a question for you. Do you think this is this too much, like with the fans and with the people who ask, hey, or say, how come we don't have all this announced for that? Like, do you need a full rundown of what's going to happen? It seems like this is like the norm. People want to know every match that's going to happen before, you know, it's going to happen on television. I just don't get that. Tune in.
No, but like, no, I mean, like for people going to the venue, I think they should have a little something announced, but
well, Cena's enough to draw 16,000. Punk,
Cena and Punk are certainly a lot. And let's see who else is announced for that show. Okay. It's just Cena, Punk, Tiffany Stratton, and Randy Orton. That's it.
All right. But I mean, what do you want? You want the full list of Matt? Like, I don't think that's going to entice.
I mean, something.
Sure.
It's like, you don't need the full list, but a little bit of something maybe.
Yeah.
AEW finally announced a Nashville show going. Oh yeah. They're around my neck of the woods quite a bit. There's a lot of wrestling out this way, not in Lexington, but we got Cincinnati coming. in a month for Raw. There's Galaxy Con in Columbus. There's WrestlePalooza in Indy, and then Nashville. That WrestleClips has spent $2,000 on tickets, which is curious. So I completely understand that. Completely get it.
Yeah. I mean, Minnesota's getting TNA Thursday and Friday of this week, and then we don't have anything. But I just saw that AEW announced a name for, I don't know if it was just announced, but it seems like it's heavily promoted, September to Remember.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting.
What a tosser, says Roxanne versus AJ will feed families. That is a natural feud. Like, Roxanne is sort of like the modern day AJ Lee. And one of the things I am excited for AJ Lee to experience is a lot of the fruits of her labor that she did not get to experience, because she put a lot of work into making the general audience care about women's wrestling and promos as a result. And then she left just as that was getting fired up. And LaRon Ford says TK was very complimentary of the AEW women's division after Forbidden Door. Commentary puts them over every week, but they're still battling for 2.5 matches a week on TV. What's the reason for the disconnect between the praise versus the lack of matches on TV? Ultimately, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You can say women don't draw, women don't bring as many people in, but if you're not building them effectively, they never will.
Yeah.
I think there should be several weeks where there's two women's matches on Dynamite. Even if one's a squash match, use that to help establish somebody. Give Aminata a squash match, or Bozilla a squash match, or Megan Bain a squash match, and help develop. What are your thoughts on how women are pretty well confined to a certain number of matches on AEW TV?
I mean, I think it's like you said, it's kind of indicative of what is going on in, you know, the product at the time right now. But I mean, Monet is having a featured match tonight. So, and it's for the championship. So, I mean,
that'll be the only one though.
Maybe we don't know that yet. I mean,
pretty sure. Maybe if they would announce the whole card, Andrew.
I knew that was coming. I set myself up for that one. If it makes sense, put it on television. If there's something that's going to give substance, put it on television. I don't care if it's the men or the women. Like, it's, if it makes sense, throw it on television. Like, the Young Bucks, doesn't make any sense that they're in this tag match today, but it is what it is, you know?
Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We are heading down the home stretch. I have a new interview up with Powerhouse Hobbs. We had one with Evil Uno last week as well. I also spoke to Frankie Kazarian. That will be up on Fightful this week. We already have it up for YouTube members, and we have it up for Tier 2 members of Fightful Select. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com and support original coverage. Eventually, if there's no original coverage, the aggregators will have nothing to aggregate. It's only $5.99 a month. You get daily Q&A articles. You get weekly Q&A podcasts from myself. Every other week, there's a Grapsity Q&A. You have access to our exclusive Discord. A lot of times, I'll put last-minute scoops in our Discord whenever I can't, like, you know, get an article written on there. We do have a free tier of FightfulSelect.com that we broke the AEW All Out and HBO news on just before everything today. But I will have news on another market that WWE rather is pushing to get into, specifically somebody in the company has been pushing for that. But lots of exclusive stuff over at FightfulSelect.com, and it's only $5.99 a month. JM says, why do I see Vince revisionists online lately? Because WWE creative has not been the hottest of late. And there are people that are pretending like it didn't suck for the last 17 years under Vince. What do you make of this?
I think WWE was trying to appeal to a wide net. So a lot of the stuff on television was rotten, but it was geared towards kids. And I think now it's changed. Anytime, it's always funny, like, watching people. It's the same thing in sports when a general manager or an owner or a coach is removed and they're like, I miss this guy because they go through some struggles or whatever. I don't make anything up. It's just people talking. You think AJ Lee is going to be back for more than just this match? I got to figure she's here till a run through Mania.
We have Connor Murphy saying, is there a world where they do the Survivor Series 2023 stage setup to get as many people in the Allstate as possible that would open to 17K? How long would they need to plan for such a thing?
not, they don't need much time for that. If the market demands that, they could scale down their stage immediately. It really depends on, they'll probably do the load in Thursday night, if not Friday morning, depending on when the building's available. I'd have to look. That's the, you know, construction basically of the stage set ring. Typically it happens, you know, the night before. If there's a concert or something there, then it happens, or, you know, hockey or basketball, whatever, then it happens the morning of, very early. They don't need much time. And if the market demands it, they could have a little small LED screen and they would sell as many tickets as they possibly could.
T says, hi, Sean, Andrew, talk it up, the collective final boss. Hey, it's good to see you. Good to see you here. Cool Fool says, how far will they push the envelope on the Blake Monroe and Jordan Grace feud? Well, let me tell you, the way that they started this feud, which was, yeah, sure, you're really good looking and jacked and a great wrestler now, but you used to be a little overweight, is the dumbest ass, like, creative and pitch I've ever seen. I felt bad that Blake Monroe and Jordan Grace had to do that. It's stupid. Like, people are talking about the offensive elements of it. Beyond that, like, I don't mind that if the talent are okay with it. It's a TV show. It's fake. But, like, I haven't spoken to Jordan Grace to see if she was okay with it. Not my business, honestly. But whoever brought up the creative idea is creatively bankrupt. LOL, you used to be less attractive than you are now, is the dumbest ass idea to start a feud I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, she could have just easily, Blake Monroe could have just went with, you might be, you know, jacked, but I'm way prettier than you are. And that's fine. I mean, the way that they went with this was just brutal. There's so many different avenues they could have taken. I thought this feud absolutely sucked.
Yeah. And I really love both performers.
Yeah. It's not a shot at either performer, Sean. I just think the creative.
Yeah. Same. Like, I really love both performers. I think Blake Monroe is going to have a great career in WWE once she gets away from whatever this creative is. And Jordan Grace is going to be successful anywhere at any time. But Andrew, tell the people where they can find you, support you, follow you, and the like.
I am at Andrew Baydala on Twitter. Don't have a TikTok. Don't have an Instagram that I post stuff on. That's for, like, my family and friends. But follow me on X. I put out videos on YouTube. I do shows there as well. Final Bell Media. You can catch me on there. Sometimes with Drew Springsteen. Sometimes with Blake. Mitch Moore, who's a VPN user of Fightful. But yeah, you guys can catch me right there on X.
Guys, please follow me on Facebook at Sean Ross Sapp. I've got the little check mark over there. I've been building that. I've been debunking a lot of fake news. I had no idea that so much of the fake news that was filtering into my Twitter mentions and stuff were from Facebook and the absolute slop that goes on over there. I had a fake MJF account trying to dunk on me. And I reached out to MJF directly. I said, is this your account? He goes, no, I've been trying to get it removed for years. Facebook won't do it. I am over there debunking stuff all the time, releasing a lot of cool clips, stuff like that. E says, it's also BS because I think Jordan was cuter before. Yeah, all that's subjective. All that is very subjective as well. And she is a lovely human being. But I want to thank all of you for joining us. And Andrew, thank you for joining us. Next week, Tom Campbell of Cultaholic will be on the show. It's been years since I've done a show with him. I did an interview with him quite a while back where I think it was Straight to Hell, which was a good time. I think that was, it was somebody at Cultaholic. Might've been Ross. Don't know. That, listen, all those British dudes are the same to me. Until next time, guys, we're out.
What if you could design your own dental implant system from scratch? What would you change? Less complexity? Better bone preservation? Simpler digital workflows? A price that actually makes sense? That's exactly what Biotech Dental created with the Contact Dental Implant System. Contact implants promote osseointegration, preserve crestal bone, and simplify your implant procedures. With a single prosthetic connection, streamlined surgical kits, and seamless integration into digital workflows, the Contact Dental implant is quickly becoming the go-to choice for U.S. dental professionals. Your cases will be supported by a dedicated planning team who can provide surgical guides and answer any technical questions. Experience the difference firsthand. Biotech Dental will provide your first contact implant case completely free, including restorative components and surgical planning support. Clinically proven, intuitively designed, surprisingly affordable, discover why so many dentists are switching to the contact implant system. Visit biotechdentalusa.com to learn more.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Introducing the Star Patrol Spotlight, the most intense flashlight you've ever seen. Compared to two car headlights, the Star Patrol shines up to four times as bright.
That's bright!
Illuminate objects up to a half mile away, even from the top of a skyscraper. The Star Patrol easily lights up buildings from across the skyline.
That's insanely bright!
Push Turbo Boost for a crazy bright boost that's 100 times brighter for 30,000 candelas of mega bright light.
What? That's insanely bright!
With 10 illumination modes, the Star Patrol is a spotlight, floodlight, emergency light, and more. Take care of all your lighting needs with one Star Patrol. Don't settle for dull flashlights. If the Star Patrol isn't the brightest flashlight you've ever seen, return it for a full refund. Go to GetStarPatrol.com for your free Turbo Boost, plus free shipping and a money-back guarantee. That's GetStarPatrol.com. GetStarPatrol.com.